Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Over the course of time, much has been written about the subject of death. And it is a subject that touches all of our lives, since at some point in time, we will all face death. And though we might be concerned about how we will die, or even about when we will die, the real issue that we face is what will happen to us after we die. Is it the end of all things? Or is it just the beginning? And if it is the beginning of what? And over the years, this has been a question that many people have attempted to answer in a variety of ways. And some have even claimed to have died and come back to life. But despite what those people tell us, there is only one who has died and come back from the grave and who now lives even to this day. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ is the essential element of our faith. For without the resurrection, our faith would just be wishful thinking, just like the philosophies and the religions of this world. And the truth of the resurrection gives meaning to every aspect of our message. It is the focal point of our faith. So over the years, the enemy of our souls has launched his fiercest attacks against the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in an attempt to discredit that truth. And this truth is so important that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul devotes that entire chapter to a discussion of the resurrection. And so, in that discussion, we must begin at the beginning. We must begin with Christ. As Jesus himself said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. Just as he rose from the dead, so he will raise us up from the dead, so that those of us who belong to him can have eternal life in him forever. Physical death will not be victorious over us. That's good news, isn't it? And so it's obvious that the most important question that we can ask ourselves today is this. How do we receive this eternal life in Christ? And that is one question that we must get the right answer about, isn't it? And so, in the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul lays the foundation of our resurrection. And the foundation of our resurrection is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, Paul says in verse 1, now, as I am about to finish writing this letter to you, I want to once again make known to you, brothers and sisters, the most important subject that we could ever discuss, I want to remind you of the gospel, euangelion in Greek, the good news of Jesus Christ, which I preached to you when I first came to Corinth, which after you heard that message of salvation, you also received it into your heart. You received it as your own. You are living proof in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For without his resurrection, you would still be lost in the blindness and in the darkness of your sin. But his resurrection is proof that your sins have been paid for by his sacrifice on the cross. That you are free. You're free from the power of the enemy over your lives. You are no longer bound by him. Now you can rest in the assurance of the salvation of your souls. Now you have peace with God. A salvation, Paul says, in which also you stand, pistemi in Greek, by which you continue to stand firm and to build your lives upon the power of Christ in you, by which also you were saved, Paul says, saved from condemnation, saved from the eternal judgment of God. And the evidence of your salvation, the evidence that your faith in Christ is genuine, will be seen by your lives, Paul says. That is, if you hold fast, katecho in Greek, if you continue to hold on to the truth, in obedience to the truth, in the truth of the word of God, which I preach to you. Otherwise, what have you believed? You haven't believed the truth. You've believed in vain, ake in Greek. You've believed in a haphazard way. You believe in a superficial way, with no real understanding of salvation, with empty faith, without understanding the depth of what Christ has done for you. Well, that's no faith at all, because you have no foundation in Christ. You've got no foundation in the truth of his word, and you have no foundation in the truth of his resurrection. For the proclamation of this truth, which I deliver to you, Paul says in verse 3, paradidomi in Greek, which I entrusted to you in your care, this is of first importance, protas in Greek. The resurrection of Christ is the principal thing to consider. Truth. That was not given to me, Paul says. It wasn't given to me by men. It certainly was not something I made up in my head. These aren't my own ideas. But, Paul says, even though I was an enemy of the cross, I received this truth by divine revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The truth that he died for our sins. Sins which were committed against him, we're told in Psalm 51. We all deserve to die. We all deserve punishment. Yet he took our place. He took our place in judgment. Yet we who were his enemies. But don't be surprised at this, Paul adds. Says this was done all according to the scriptures. Prophecy, which was written long ago. Prophecy which was fulfilled according to the plan of God. Prophecy that is found in the Old Testament, where We are told by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53 that he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment to secure our peace with God fell upon him, and so by his torturous death, we are spiritually healed and made whole forever. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're also told, Paul says, that when he died, he was buried in a tomb. He was so brutally beaten and torn that he was hardly able to be recognized anymore. But he didn't remain in the grave. The empty tomb is the proof that he was raised from the dead on the third day, which is also according to the scriptures. Just like the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish, and yet he emerged alive. So Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the grave. Yet we're told in Psalm 16 that he did not suffer decay. He was not abandoned by God the Father. He is alive. And he is the light of life to all those who will believe. But before Jesus returned to the glory of heaven, he gave us even more proof of his resurrection. For 40 days, he revealed himself to his followers at various times. And in the Bible, as well as in a court of law, eyewitness testimony is seen as a reliable form of evidence. And of the 11 times that it is mentioned in the Bible where Jesus revealed himself to his followers, Paul gives us 5 of those times. Actually 6. We include him. Himself. So Paul begins in verse 5, and he says that incredibly, Jesus revealed himself in the flesh to Cephas, which is Aramaic for Peter. And Peter was the leader of the 12 apostles. But before Jesus was crucified, Peter denied that he even knew his Lord. He denied him 3 times. Our Lord is truly gracious to us, isn't he? He comforted Peter in his bitter shame and in his sorrow and in his remorse. Then Paul mentions that Jesus appeared to the 12 apostles, to men who were commissioned by Jesus to establish his church, though at this point there were only 11 of them. And we're told in Luke chapter 24, verse 42, that on that night he ate some broiled fish with 10 of them. And then sometime later, sometime after that, says in verse 6, he appeared to more than 500 brothers in Christ, all at the same time, perhaps on a mountain in the province of Galilee. And most of them, Paul points out, remain. They continue to live, even until now, which would have been some 25 years after Jesus revealed himself to them. But Paul adds, some have fallen asleep. Some of them have died and gone home to be with the Lord. And even though some time has passed, you could go and talk to them. You could speak to those who remain, and they will tell you what they saw on that day. And then Paul adds in verse 7, our risen Lord appeared to James, to the half-brother of Jesus. A man who did not believe that Jesus was even the Messiah until after the resurrection. And James later became a leader in the church in Jerusalem. Then Jesus revealed himself, Paul says, to all of the apostles. And they saw him ascend into heaven. The testimony of all of these eyewitnesses is overwhelming, isn't it? An abundance of evidence. An abundance of proof. Proof that would stand up in any court of law. But still, amazingly, over the years, many have refused to believe that evidence. And many still refuse to believe it today. And Paul adds in verse 8, there is one more witness that I must tell you about. The last one. The last one of all. One who, as it were, was untimely born. Ektroma in Greek. Like a miscarriage. One who was born at the wrong time. But Paul testifies to this. On that road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to me also. Yes, even to me. For I am the least of all of the apostles, who am not fit, kenos in Greek, who am not worthy to even be called an apostle, because before the truth was revealed to me, I persecuted the church of God, breathing out hatred and violence against those who followed Jesus. But Paul says in verse 10, by the grace of God, charis in Greek, in his kindness towards me, I am what I am. And the grace, his grace towards me, did not prove vain. Kenos in Greek, it was not without effect. My whole life was turned upside down, and I have never been the same since that day. And many of us can say the same thing as well, can't we? And so, I labored for the Lord. Kopiao in Greek. I continue to work to the point of exhaustion and beyond exhaustion, in suffering and in pain, even more than all of the other apostles. Yet, Paul says it was not I who work, but he says it was the grace of God which works with me. My commitment to the Lord, even the blessing of the ministry, finds its source in him. So then, whether it was I or whether it was they, we all preach the same message. The good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as eyewitnesses to the truth. And so, by the grace of God, you in Corinth, you also believed the truth. And of course, the real question for all of us to answer is this. Do we believe the truth of the resurrection? The evidence of the resurrection is clear. And so it demands a decision. Demands a decision that will determine our eternal destiny in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.